Hello and welcome to Me on Focus. Today is the 1st of June and we're having two special guests, Chiara and Emanuela from Amazonia Onlus.
Hello Manu, how are you then? Thank you for coming on Me on Focus.
You're welcome, I'm very good and I'm very happy to be here with you.
Thank you. So would you like to introduce yourself and talk about your background?
Okay, my name is Emanuela, but everybody calls me Manu, and I'm a biologist, and I'm living at the moment in Brazil.
And where in Brazil? Well, you're from Italy.
Yes, I'm from Italy. Right, yes. I'm from Rome, actually.
Yeah,
right?
You see, the capital of the world.
Yeah, right, really. Beautiful city.
Yes.
But then I moved to this other beautiful environment, which is the Amazon in Brazil, Brazilian Amazon. Uh-huh. So I'm really literally living now in the heart of the Brazilian Amazon, in the middle of the forest.
And where in exactly? Because we know that Amazon,
the Amazon is huge.
It's huge,
the Amazon is huge. I'm living, if you focus on Manaus, so you put Manaus on the map, which is the capital of the Amazonas state. I'm 500 kilometers northwest of Manaus.
All right, 500 kilometers, yeah?
Right, which is a small distance for the Amazon.
It's a small distance.
For the Amazon is, but actually it's a sort of a couple of days by boat. Because there's no road over there, so you have to go by boat.
Oh gosh, that must be an amazing trip. So how many hours does it take from Manaus up to where you are?
I mean, depending on the boat you are using, you can go with a speed boat and it's quite quick, because with a speed boat it might take sort of 10 hours.
All right.
But if you go with a regional boat, which is what I always suggest, the best choice, because you can, you know, sleep on a hammock and just really enjoy the environment and the view you have, it takes a sort of 24 hours to go there.
But I think it's worth it.
It must be worth it. I mean, the minute you leave Manaus, you already feel that you are in the middle of something really different. You are, you know, sailing this Amazonas river, this labyrinth of river, and just, you know, seeing just dolphin swimming the river and birds, a lot of birds flying. It's another world.
All right. So you fish in the boat and then you eat the fish that you're fishing from the sea, and it's very nice, the trip on the boat.
It is. It's really nice. It's an unforgettable cruise
if you have the lightness. Oh my God, I really want to do that. So for you guys listening, so today the podcast is with the Amazonia Onlus girls that actually started all this project. But we are in Chiara's house and Chiara has a small baby. So you will hear crying, which is normal when you have a little baby, and you will hear Chiara on and off because, of course, the baby needs her. So we're going to try to do this interview and wait for Chiara to see if she can come. But if she cannot, then the next time we do it with Chiara.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm sure she will. So we're going to ask Manu, when did the passion to help Amazonia and the Caboclo? Caboclo, it's how the native Indians are called in Brazil, in Portuguese. So when did it start, this passion?
It started 20 years ago almost, was 2000, so actually 18 years ago. When I went to the Amazon for the first time by chance, because it was not planned really in my life. At that time I was a student, I was studying biology and was still looking for, you know, thesis for my master degree, a subject on my thesis. And I had this opportunity to travel to the Amazon, and I, you know, found myself immediately falling in love with the forest, with this, you know, green wall, this, you know, place which is made by water, a combination of water and green, and was something that, I mean, I couldn't have imagined. It was so beautiful. So it started at that time.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing. And so you went there and you did your thesis, and then you decided to stay and help.
Yeah, actually, I spent a couple of years at the very beginning going there, going back to Italy, to university, because at the beginning my only interest was a scientific interest, and I was interested in this beautiful mammals that I was studying. It's called giant otters, so it's an otter, a very giant one. Beautiful and unknown species and threatened by extinction, so endangered species. So, yeah, as I said, at the very beginning, my interest was a scientific interest, not
Not
much
humanitarian. Not
not really
humanitarian.
humanitarian. But then I mean, spending the time with local people, with these indigenous people there, I started to have you know, an interesting relationship with them and discover how you know, human they are and what they need. And so I in some way I managed to put together the scientific interest, so the conservationist interest. I wanted to conserve the forest. This was my focus at the beginning. I wanted to conserve that species and then the forest. But I realized it was easy to realize that in order to do that was the need was to help people, so to answer to their need, and it becomes something sort of natural, joining these two facts together.
It's very nice. And how did it all start? How did the natives welcomed you?
Oh well, at the very beginning, they welcomed me as a crazy Italian girl that wanted to study something that for them was nothing but interested, like, you know, giant otters. They consider a competitor for they, because they eat fish the same way people eat fish. So they don't really love this
This
animal. So this
animal.
was this crazy girl coming every, you know, every 3 months or every 4 months, coming from Italy to study something that they don't really consider valuable, and that they had hunted for many years, for a long time, because of the
Do
pelt,
they
because of
eat
the
them or not?
not really, they don't eat them, but you know, not really at that time, but the these species are has reached this point of being endangered because of the pelt trade, because they were killed because of their pelt. Because, you know, like, I mean, not really for the Brazilian market, but for the European
I didn't know that.
or yeah, or the American market. So they were, you know, at the beginning they just looked at me as a crazy gringa, the way they used to call me. But then when I started to show to them that I was interested in their well-being as well, something changed. But I must say that really, it really changed the minute they realized that every time that I left, I after a few a small time I was coming back. I remember that at the very beginning, every time that I leave was, you know, a crying addio, no? It was something like, you know, you are leaving, we love you love us, but you know, you never come back. We know, because they are,
Oh, they thought that you weren't coming back.
yeah, but
And at that time
this
there
is
was
normal. This is normal for them, because you have to consider that living on the river, you are, they are riverine people, so that means they are very used to see people passing through, going, and then never coming back. I mean, this is sort of, even politicians do that. I mean, they come, they make you a lot of promise, and then they leave, they never come back. But then at one point, they realized that I was coming back and coming back and coming back, and they stopped crying. So yeah, this was something was so good for me, because I was the first to stop crying. Every time it's now the adios is something like, okay, bye bye guys, I'm coming back in, when are you coming back? Oh, maybe in a couple of months. But everybody was trust in me.
Yeah, yeah, they trusted back. That you did. Yeah. So yeah. For who doesn't know, so adeus means be, well, how do you say it? Adios, be,
yeah,
farewell.
Farewell.
Farewell. Like the book of Ernest Hemingway, Farewell to okay. Arms. Yeah. Adio le armi.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then that's very nice. So at some point you stopped crying, they stopped crying,
they stopped
and
crying.
They trusted that you would come back. Oh, that's so right. nice. Oh, that's amazing.
It was.
And what was, well, since Chiara is not coming, so tell us, so you were there alone.
Yeah.
Right? And how did you meet Chiara, and how did you introduce Chiara to your project?
Well, I met Chiara years before okay. going to Brazil, because we were colleagues. We used to work in a magazine. Mm-hmm. It was a magazine related to an environmentalist organization.
Okay.
So at the very beginning, we were doing voluntary work in this organization, and then we started to work to this magazine.
Okay.
And we became friends very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But then I went to the Amazon to follow this dream, and she started to work on a TV.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1999, I think, if I remember, to 2009,
mm-hmm.
she kept working in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
She's an ecologist as well, so she was not really happy mm-hmm. because she was not doing what she wanted.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of time just trying, you know, to attract her, because I wanted her to be with me. And then at one point she really realized that she was not happy doing what she was doing. And she, I remember that she passed through a very sad moment, you mm-hmm. know, when she really didn't know what she wanted to do. When at the end she, it was something like at one point the universe showed mm-hmm. to her that was the path she had to follow. That
okay.
was her dream. That was nature. That was taking care of the environment
mm-hmm.
and people, and doing this humanitarian work. So at that time, I had already just started the association in Italy. Just she joined us, and I mean, then she found, I must say, happiness
yes.
in the meaning that she found what she wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and since then we never
split. All
again.
Right. So it's how many years now that you work together on Amazonia Onlus? So you founded Amazonia Onlus 10 years ago?
No, in 2004. So
2004,
yeah,
all right.
I had already started it when
okay.
Chiara joined me.
So it has 14 years, wow.
Yeah, it has.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Okay, and what was the first project that you guys
did? The very first project was related to healthcare.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's one of the most important topic, and
yeah.
in this region you have to work, first of all you have to work on health assistance and education, the most important need
mm-hmm.
they show. And so it was related to water, so we just realized, you know, wells in four communities
yeah.
along this river, and we build latrines as well, because
yeah.
the problem was, the big problem at that time was parasites, intestinal
yeah.
parasites.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh.
So
okay,
you
okay.
you in some way you had to break this circle,
yeah.
you know, of polluting the water.
Yeah.
So we provided this for, this was the first attempt. Then we then made different things on this subject, but this was the first one.
Right.
So wells, and it was called Agua Boa, which means good water. So
yeah.
good water for everybody.
All right. And how did the Caboclos react with this first project? Because you arrive as a student,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, you do such a good thing for them. So
yeah.
how did they react?
But, you know, it was not suddenly. So
mm-hmm.
in some way they had, as I said, the time to get used to this crazy gringa.
Mm-hmm.
And then another gringa joined.
Yeah. yeah. How did they react when she arrived?
They were all very, very interested, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's so nice.
Yeah, she's so nice.
And
beautiful.
So nice and beautiful.
Yeah.
So
and she doesn't look Italian at all.
No, she looks more Brazilian
yeah,
than Italian.
Yeah, she looks more Brazilian.
Right. But you know, I have to say that was not so easy to be two women in the middle of a very macho culture. So they, of course, they welcomed us, but as I said before, before trusting us, it takes time for them to trust, to trust and to believe that we were able to do something for them. True.
Yeah, also because they're looking at you and saying, "What are these two women doing?"
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. So I'm not gonna ask you the next question because you already answered that. Was, did you have any problems? So the major problem was
this
being accepted about
them.
Being two women in a men's world.
Right.
Yeah, it must have been very, very hard. Oh my God. So did you receive help from the Brazilian government?
Oh, yeah, we do receive help from the Brazilian government nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, this was another topic that was, I mean, we had to work very hard.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
It was a struggle to get this support, which is not really an economic support.
Yeah, of course.
Actually, we don't look for that in Brazil because we are, the fact is that we are working in a poor environment and we want to bring help to them.
Yeah.
But of course, we need support from a bureaucratic point of view, license and everything we need in order to do in a legalized way doing. It takes time. It takes a lot of trip to the municipality because, as I said, we are very far away from the city.
Yeah.
And then the territory where we are belongs to Roraima State.
Mm-hmm.
And it means from a logistic point of view that in order to talk, let's say, to our mayor or politician, we have to cover 5 days of sailing by boat to get to the place where they, it means that you have to plan your trip, you need money, you need resources, so it wasn't something like, you know, I call my mayor and solve the problem.
Mm.
So it takes time, it was a long process, but nowadays I must say that we have perfect support from them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the Brazilian government also makes it a little bit difficult? So only real people that really want to help stay there? So they don't, so, you know, they see that the institution didn't give up. And so, this is a good institution. Let's give them the documents. Do you think that they are a little bit harder? So
I mean that they don't trust you.
Mm.
This is what.
Mm-hmm.
But consider that as happened in Italy as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Not everybody has been doing an honest work.
Yeah. Of course.
Always. So. Mm. Brazil, when 20 years ago, I mean, in the Brazilian Amazon wasn't really easy to work being a foreigner.
Yeah.
Because they had already, you know, experimented very bad experience with people coming from outside and stealing resources.
Saying that they were coming to help, but instead they were stealing.
Yeah, stealing, you know, the typical resources, Amazonian resources. So, for instance, biopiracy was at that time one of the main concerns.
Yeah, I remember.
Still is, but I mean, it happened. So I never thought that the Brazilian diffidence was too much. They were absolutely. It is understandable. It was understandable.
Yeah,
so it took time for them to believe that they were doing something in their behalf, in their benefit, not for our benefit.
I was thinking a lot about this question because for South Americans, it's common that they have that belief that when you are a foreigner, you go there. You don't go to help. You go because you want something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you guys are there 14 years and strong,
mm-hmm.
that means that you proved
I'm sure that they put a lot of tests for you to pass. And if you're still there and going strong and you did so many projects that we can see online, that means that you're true.
We passed the test.
You passed all the tests, and then you guys are serious, because it's not easy, of course.
No,
yeah. So you guys build schools.
Right.
Then you support education, so you did this computer room with internet, right? Then healthcare, research, conservation, and ecotourism, right?
This is the big resume.
All right. So when you thought about moving there and staying there, so did you? It was a dream of yours that you had? Was it your dream? Did you know exactly how to do it?
Or my personal dream?
Yeah, yeah.
No. I always say that my life was more courageous than me to dream things that I never dare really to dream. I remember that when I was a child, my dream was, you know, to go on a mission in Africa and to do some humanitarian work.
Mm-hmm. That
was
like a missionary.
But then growing up, I discovered this pleasure of being in nature and studying nature and studying animals. So I thought for a long time, I thought that I had diverged from this original dream. But then as we said before, the same as for Chiara, the universe brought me in a place where I could work for the two dreams I mm-hmm. always
yes,
had,
yes,
so
yes,
putting
yes,
them together.
It's true.
But at the very beginning, I was not able to dream that much, to okay. dream even to live in the Amazon, not to go and live there. No, I was doing what I wanted to do, what I felt that I had to do for myself, for people, for nature, and then at one point the universe just took me there. It was something that, you know, I never put resistance on
okay.
that.
That's, and you never felt fear. You just went.
I always feel fear.
And how do you deal with your fear?
I think that fear is natural,
mm-hmm.
is useful.
Yes, it saves your life.
It saves your life, especially in a place like that.
Yes.
It keeps you alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thank my fear.
All right. So
my fears in life. Okay. Because otherwise I could have done something very bad or mm-hmm. very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No, I consider my fear. I listen to them, to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just try to live with it,
mm-hmm.
but not in a
you
way.
You accept it.
Accept it.
You just so you know that
just
it's there.
Just say it's there.
Okay.
I know that mm-hmm. I feel. I mean, I cannot say that when I'm on my own in my small hut, thatch cover in the middle of the jungle, and if I'm on my own, I don't feel afraid of, you know, a snake or a jaguar or whatever. Of course I do feel afraid, but I stay there, I have my dog, I try to keep alive, and I try to accept what life is giving to me.
All right. That's very interesting, because normally people try to battle against fear.
Against
fear. For example, I am total against that.
Mm-hmm.
And people like they, I need to overcome my fear, I need to hide my fear, I need to control, I have to, you know, stop feeling the fear. But I don't think so. I think that you have to, you know that the fear is there. You
right.
have to be well aware of what is your fear.
Right.
And you just say, okay, fine, I'm afraid, but I'll try.
I'll try. I'll do it. I'll do
you know,
it.
You do
In
it.
Spite of you,
yeah,
my fear,
yeah, yeah.
I'll do it.
I'll do it. Let's see what happens. You know, I know that it's there, but oh well. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And what is the current project right now?
Oh my God. right now we are working on many different, again, we are working on all these subjects we have mentioned,
yes.
but
okay.
or future
projects? At the moment, no. At the moment, we are working. We are 10 communities, mm-hmm. so we began with one.
Okay.
But at the moment, we are working with the whole river. So that's along
nice.
The whole river, there are 10 communities. So we are working with all of them in different subjects.
Okay.
Let's say something that join all these people together are activities like the extractivism is called, is mm-hmm. one, which means we are aware that the forest has an economical value.
Of course.
Because it's full of natural product that
yeah.
can be traded.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for this population to trade.
Mm-hmm.
So we are helping them to gather and trade natural products, which are not timber. So they are called not timber products, which means fruits or vines, fiber, things like that. So we are facilitating this commerce, you know, this trade, which is a good income for them.
Mm-hmm.
It provides income. And another, always on this subject, because we believe it's very important to provide activities that might generate income for local population. Other project is the ecotourism that we
mm-hmm.
mentioned before.
Yeah.
But it's one of the most important projects we are working on it now, because we help them to create a local cooperative, which is composed only by native people. So they are administrating, it's called community-based
okay.
Ecotourism. So they are the one who own the lodge. It's a
mm-hmm.
small eco lodge in the middle
yeah.
of the forest. They manage it and they take care of people that come to visit the forest, and they it's a nice job for them, because it's one of the few way they have to show you how big is the knowledge they have on
yeah.
the forest.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
It's all what they have. I mean, it's their
mm-hmm.
environment.
Of
they
course.
Love it, they protect it, and they want to show it to you.
Yeah, and proudly.
And probably, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So the ecotourism is something that it's amazing. Well, I saw the pictures,
uh-huh.
so
okay.
I have to say that it's amazing. It's beautiful. And for you that you're listening there to us, be prepared, because next year we're going to have a Mion Focus retreat in the middle of the Amazon. So you're going to be able to meet Chiara and Manu.
Right.
All right, I can't
Looking
wait for it.
Looking forward to meeting you
yeah,
guys.
It's going to be fun. And do you accept volunteers to work?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you
yes,
do?
We
That's
do.
Amazing. So who wants to come and work as a volunteer? We're going to leave all the contacts on the blog.
Right, right.
And they will contact you, and I'm sure
yeah,
that
they
there
can
is...
do many different things.
Yeah.
From you know, teaching English,
yeah.
which is an important
it's very
tool,
important.
Especially in the ecotourism
yeah.
for local people,
yeah.
or even teaching computer skills,
oh, yeah. that's
or
that's
working
very good.
In the health post, if
yeah.
you have, you know,
yeah.
if you are a nurse, or
yeah.
you know how to deal with...
Tell us about the one of the greatest achievements that you had on my vision, that it was about the malaria.
Right.
That's something to be
fight.
Very proud
but
of.
But you know, the malaria story is that at the very beginning, the river where we are
yeah.
living and working, which is called Jaupiri River, as many rivers in the Brazilian Amazon, was full of malaria.
Of course.
So malaria is spread in, it's mm. very common in this region.
Yeah. It's humid,
but
there is a lot of water.
It is very common because it's difficult to bring things or solution, but actually the solution is not that difficult.
Mm.
It's just based on treatment, mm. so the availability of medicine.
Yeah.
And training of microscopists. So the fact is that all what you need is to train three or four, depending on the length of your river. Let's say
mm-hmm.
in our case, nowadays we have two microscopists. So two people
yeah.
train able to use the microscope, so able to do the blood test, which is mm-hmm. what you need when you, if you suspect that there is a case of malaria, what we do at the moment is we just treat it immediately, because what you don't want is that these people, yeah, that mm-hmm. this person being stung by a mosquito that yeah. can spread the malaria.
Yeah.
So at the beginning was a big effort mm-hmm. because we yeah. had to treat
a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. But then when you reduce this basin of mm-hmm. malaria, it's just a question that's of controlling.
Amazing. Controlling. That's amazing. I saw a video on YouTube last right. night uh-huh. where you guys show mm-hmm. that the exam is actually like the diabetics.
Right.
It's just a gota.
How do you
yeah,
say?
Yeah. It's just a drop of blood.
A drop of blood.
It's like a diabetic that they have that machine to control mm-hmm. the blood, the mm-hmm. insulin in the blood. Mm-hmm. That is the same thing. And I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I never imagined that it was so simple.
But it was so simple.
It's so incredible. So I was thinking, even this thing, you know, of showing, you know, to nurses, people that just got out of medicine university, what you guys are doing, mm-hmm. you know, that would be great, because it's so simple. And I never heard this. I never heard anybody like anywhere doing that.
Yeah.
And if you think about Asia, how many problems they have with malaria, and mm-hmm. also in Africa yeah. and other countries yeah. of South America.
Of course, you have to consider that it also depends on the number, or population that you are dealing mm-hmm. with. Of course, in the Amazon, we have a situation where the population is very low, mm-hmm. few people on big area, like, you know, a river. This is mm-hmm. 100 kilometer of river, and yeah. we have, you know, 10 communities, which is nothing if you compare it yeah, to China or yeah, other yeah, places yeah, yeah, in course. Africa. But the fact is that it's not really a question of controlling the population of mosquitoes, because of course we have a lot of mosquitoes.
Of course,
there.
You cannot do anything
yeah,
about
but
that.
The mosquitoes mm-hmm. are today, they mm-hmm. are healthy. Mm-hmm. So they are not transmitting.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, none of this disease, because it's not only malaria. You know, in Brazil, you deal with dengue, which is another big problem.
And dengue cases, you didn't have.
No, we have a healthy river.
That's
so amazing. we don't even use. Repellent, mosquito repellent, because you don't
because
like mosquitoes,
yeah,
not because of
but that's amazing.
Disease.
That's really amazing, because dengue, for example, it's a big problem. It's a very big problem, and especially in such a humid place where you're gonna have, you know, water in, you know, it's very. But I was very very surprised, really. Wow,
thank you.
That was amazing. So you work in Brazil, but you raise money in Italy,
right?
So how was it? You have all this project, and then you have to come to Italy, mm-hmm. present the project. We know Italian mentality, old mentality, very hard to deal with. We have very big heart, but at the same time, we want to see everything. We want to control everything. Mm-hmm. We want to meet everybody. Mm-hmm. In Italy, it doesn't exist things on the internet. We want to see each other on the eyes and have a coffee and have a meal mm-hmm. together,
a chat,
right?
And control everything and see if I can trust you,
yes,
looking in your eyes.
Yes, but if you think about it, it's not a lot different from the caboclo mentality,
isn't it? This is what I was about to answer. I mean, we had already... yeah. Pass the test in
Brazil.
The
only difference is that we have a little bit more of style, right?
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the yeah. point.
So how was it? You arrive and you say, hey, I went to Brazil to study this big, what are they called, the animals?
Giant otter.
A giant otter. And in Portuguese, how do you say that?
Ariranha.
Ariranha. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Ariranha.
Conhece.
Yeah. See.
You know them.
I've seen them, you know, the closest I've seen, I don't know if you know, in the river of in São Paulo,
mm-hmm.
there are some there. Of course, not these huge ones, mm-hmm. the smaller ones. So that's
yeah, the other species.
So that's the only one.
Imagine the same species, but just three times bigger than the one you're seeing.
All right, then. So how was it? You come to Italy and you start contacting companies, and how did they receive
Company and government as well. Because in Italy you have this program as well that help other countries, and also, you know, donation from private as well. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we have done a lot of conferences or exposition.
You were also on the expo, no? The last one.
We were on the expo. We have done a lot in Milan,
mm-hmm.
in Rome,
yeah.
and in Trento as well. Yeah. This is where we have moved more. Our presence has been bigger, stronger in Italy. Right. And especially in Trento, I must say, we receive a good welcome. Because, you know, if you know Italy, Trento is a special region.
Yeah.
A different.
It's a very wealthy region.
Mm. And also they are very good in, you know, this. They have this vision about preserving the environment because it's a nice environment. Yeah. There's a lot of nature in Trento. They have the Dolomiti, this huge mountain, and they have been quite good in using nature to develop tourism. So they understood the fact that we could, in the same way, they always say that to us, that they had the same problem, in Trentino, in the region, with people living on the mountain. Yeah. The trend is leaving the mountain to move to the city because of lacking of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So they have done a lot of work in this region to provide, trying to provide to these people,
support.
You know, to support these people and providing them opportunities, job opportunities, generating income, blah, blah. So actually it's quite similar to what we are doing in the middle of the Amazon, trying to avoid this exodus of people from the forest to the city. So they had this vision. They understood what we were doing.
Oh, that's
and
beautiful.
In the last year, they have been quite supportive to us.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. That in Italy, that in Milan, we have this onlus not-profit association that is also doing a lot in schools, teaching for kids, because, I mean, we know that saving the Amazon is something that depends on political willingness, people living there, the public opinion, but also, you know, teaching to the new generation the importance of this environment. So we do a lot in this meaning, you know, going to school, talking to the kids and trying to make them to understand the global importance of this forest, which is not important only for Brazil, we're saving the whole world. So I mean, nowadays we know everything.
We know everything about
climate change, chaos. So the importance of the biggest forest we have on the planet is not in discussion anymore.
Yeah, we need to work all together in order to preserve it, because that's the future of our kids and the kids of our kids.
Right.
So we need to think about their future, what our grandfathers and grandfathers destroyed.
Yeah.
We need to save now in order so our grandkids can still breathe in this world. So yeah, we really need that. So now I'm gonna ask you it's a hard question. So you are there, you see what's needed to do. You see what you have to do. You do the project. But you know that, you know, things to come true, they need funds.
Right.
You need money.
Right.
What made you believe that you would get the money? Because you are there, you don't know if you're going to get the money or not. Where did this trust come from? You had the certainty that you would give it, you believe in the universe.
Today, you mean?
No, back then and today, of course, still. Because you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
If you're going to have the money. But I see that you have this certainty inside of you.
You have it inside of you. Yeah. I think it's not really different from the fear story we were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that it is inside you. Nobody can guarantee to you. You don't have any guarantee that you are going to succeed.
You don't know.
And the money will come, will arrive. But you work very hard. You work very hard. You believe in what you are doing. And you hope that as you are doing the good, right? You are doing the good for the planet, good for people. You have no reason to not believe that it will succeed. So it's something that is not really in your brain. Mm-hmm. It's in your heart. You just do it.
But that's very beautiful. Just stop there a little bit because you said that you know that you're doing the good for the world and for the people. So you know that this must come back as good.
Right.
So that it's going to happen. You just know it in your heart. Happen. It has to happen. You have no doubts. You know that it will happen.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Because, you know, especially, you know, this world right now, people are full of fear, full of doubt.
Yeah.
And you are there in the middle of the forest. You don't know if you are going to have money to finish the project or if you're going to have money for the next project. But you are telling me that in your heart, you know that you will. That's amazing. No?
I don't know. It seems so simple for me.
yeah. But, you know, there are some people there that are listening now and they're like, oh my God, this woman has the certainty of the uncertain. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is faith. This is believe in your dreams and on your work and on the good of the world. So it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It has to work.
I think because at the end of the day, I think that uncertainty as well as fear is something that we have, always thought there was something wrong, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. We have not certainty of living in our life, but this is not enough to not live.
All right. So, wow. So this is how you dealt with money problem. You just believed that they were going to be solved.
Right.
So we come to our almost last question, which is the hardest one. Okay. And I ask this question because I really love Oprah Winfrey. You know that? Oprah, you know Oprah?
Right.
And she is a firm believer of the positive thinking, of manifesting, you know, what you want.
Right.
On believing, you know, and having no fear, no doubt, because the universe will take care. And she always asks a question, what do you know for sure? So what do you know for sure? I love this question. I ask this question to myself all day long.
Okay.
Like not all day long, of course, but many times a day I ask myself, what I stop and I go, what do you know for sure? And I come for an answer, especially when I go to bed, you know, what do you know for sure? Yeah. What did you learn today?
Yeah, it's a strong question.
Yeah.
I hope not to disappoint you.
No, because that's what you know for sure.
Yeah.
And you gave us so many lessons today, you know, that there are many.
No, I mean it's something that not everybody likes to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not a taboo for me.
Okay.
And it's the only thing I think was the most important thing I know for sure.
Yeah.
And I know that I will die.
Yeah, it's true.
I will die. I think it's natural and is even beautiful because it gives me the feeling of being part of this beautiful environment.
Yes.
I'm just a part of it. I'm just a drop of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do my best. I always try to do my best to be, you know, an honorable part of this.
Yes.
But I'm just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably feel different if I wouldn't remember every day that I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I always keep to remember this again, which doesn't mean that I don't fear it.
Yeah, of course I do. Of course, yeah.
But I do, But I stay on it. It's a reality. It's a truth that I know. And this makes me remember every day that if I want this project, for instance, to really succeed,
mm-hmm.
I have to focus on this thought and train someone for after me, mm-hmm. after Chiara. Mm-hmm. It has to go on.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Mm-hmm. We want it to go on. And it means that we have to leave it to the local people. So this is one of the reasons why we are so very hardly working on training.
Mm-hmm.
Always you mention education, but education is not just, you know, teaching in school.
Yeah.
We have done a lot of training because we want them to be able, and I always joke with them, like this joke saying, ah, guys, I'm getting old, you know, it's time for me to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to do it all yourself, everything.
This is very beautiful. This is very beautiful because they are going to be able, you know, to do something alone and
to teach it to their kids.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. And I agree with you with this thing of the death. That's what we know for sure, because my grandma, she is Bugri.
Mm-hmm.
My grand grandma was Bugri. She doesn't live anymore. So Bugri, for who doesn't know, it's the native Brazilian Indian, but from the south.
Right.
From Los Pampas,
right.
So that piece of land which is considered south of Brazil, Uruguay and Argentina. So that
tribal,
so you stand in the middle and you have on your right, you know, you have Brazil, on your left you have Argentina, and on your back you have Uruguay. So this is how they are called. And she used to say, oh, when she was very old, I wish I could finally die so I can have peace. she spoke about death with this love, you know, like I'm gonna have peace and I'm gonna rest, you know. And my grandma, so her daughter used to tell her, oh, just rest a little bit, don't work, because, you know, the Indians, native mm-hmm. Indians, they never stop, never, ever. They're always doing something, especially women, right?
Absolutely.
And my grandma used to tell, Mom, please stop, rest. And she used to say, ah, I'll sleep when I'll die. Then I'll have a lot of time to sleep. That was amazing. I'm going to rest. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to relax. That was amazing. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. I'm really sorry Chiara couldn't join us.
Yeah, me too.
She's dealing with her baby.
Mm-hmm.
But that's natural. This is how it grows.
Taking care of next generation.
She's taking care of the next generation that will take care of Amazonia Onlus, which is very important. And I'm sure that we won't lose opportunities for her to come. She will come next time. Do you have a question for me?
Oh my God. I have a lot of questions for you.
So then will you interview me then the next time?
That'll be nice. Really nice to interview you, but now, you know, I look at you and I see a peaceful person. You transmit to me something really really nice. I don't know, guys, if you know her by person, but she's transmitting something very very peaceful.
Aww.
And it makes me to think that you are deeply inside an happy person. So my question is, I don't know if happiness is the right word, but is this peaceful status that you remind to me.
Okay.
Where does it come from? Where did you find it?
So, I don't believe in happiness.
Right.
I believe in joy. Yeah, so I believe that even if you have problems in your life, of course, my life is not perfect.
Right.
Of course, I say my childhood wasn't nice. As a teenager, I didn't live a peaceful life. But I always had this this thing inside of me that that I always knew that everything that was happening, it had a reason, you know. And I always knew, okay, this happened, okay, be strong, just smile and go on with a smile, because in the future will tell you why you had to go through this, you know. So I always try to see the positive side of the things. Of course, it happened in my life that at some point I couldn't see anything positive, that I got lost. And when I lost this thing of being able of seeing, of taking the things as a teaching, then I lost myself. Mm-hmm. And then for this 6 months, where 5-6 months, where I was feeling angry, which is something that I never felt in my whole life. Okay. People that know me, even my father, was to tell me, oh my God, you never get angry. I'm afraid the day you are gonna get angry, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't get angry. I don't like fighting with people. I always try, you know, to be that peaceful. And suddenly I was dealing with emotions that I never felt before. And I felt lost, you know. Right. So then life taught me another thing, forgiveness.
Oh.
You know.
I see.
So I forgave. You know, I learned in this, I said, how can I go back to the person I was before? And I was like, I will never go back to the person I was before, because we cannot go back. No. We as human beings, we can only, you know,
go on. Right.
Right. And grow. Mm-hmm. So, okay, what is the lesson that I need to learn? And it was forgive. But it wasn't forgive others, because I could forgive others.
Yourself.
But forgive myself. Forgive myself for not being strong enough to do something I didn't like and mm-hmm. make myself like it. You understand mm-hmm. what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, the moment I was able to forgive myself and accept that the life I wanted to have, you know, mm-hmm. was that, with this, what I'm doing now, then I found this peace and I was able to find joy. So of course, not everything is perfect. Of course, you know, I have problems. I have to deal with things, but I don't let anything, you know, touch me. I just, oh yeah, sure, okay, and I just ask the universe,
it's forgiveness.
You know, yeah, forgive yourself. So I ask the universe, show me what is the right way. You know, I'm sure that you don't want me to do this because I see that it's going wrong. Instead mm-hmm. of getting mad, mm-hmm. I just go, okay, thank you, universe. Because if you don't want me to do this thing, if this thing is not working well, that means that it's not the right time. So I thank you. I thank you. You know, I fill my heart with gratitude. I just smile and go on. That's the joy.
No, I see.
So when I say, you know, the joyful comes from within, you feel the joy. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, you have problems, but that doesn't mean that you are not joyful.
Mm-hmm.
But happiness is another thing. Happiness comes from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, if I come, for example, to you and I say, look, I found a person that wants to help on your project, you're going to be super happy.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
this,
because you brought me to me.
You're going to be like, oh, I'm super happy. In 1 hour, you're going to be, I'm happy. Tomorrow, yes, I'm happy. On the fourth day, you already have something else in your head. And that was already, you're not happy anymore about that. You are preoccupied already for another thing. And that's, oh, yeah, that's sorted. That's fine. But joy is another thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's from you.
It's from you. You make yourself joyful. So you could be, you know, in bed, sick, but you can feel joyful.
Yeah, you are so beautiful in this.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry in a little bit. Yeah, in a little bit, I'm going to start weeping. Thank you very much. And I will hug you. And yeah, I'm very happy. So I would like you to tell our listeners
mm-hmm.
where they can, you know, go. So Amazonia Onluz, right?
Mm-hmm.
.com. but all the addresses will be on meonfocus.com, so you guys can go there and you're gonna have all the links. If you want to donate a coffee to our Manu and to our Chiara, you can donate a coffee to them on PayPal. There is gonna be the links and everything. Companies out there that are listening to us, contact Manu and Chiara. They need your help. And stay tuned, because we're coming with very good news, yes. Right? On the next days.
We will.
Brilliant news, isn't it? I'm so excited, but we're not going to say anything today.
Not yet,
because it's a surprise, right?
Yeah, but so stay tuned.
Stay tuned on the next podcast. Thank you very much.
Emma, looking forward to meeting all of you, yes. Listeners, and you as well.
Yes.
To Shishuahu, so in this beautiful place,
yes, I can't
in the
wait.
Middle of the Amazon, the heart
I cannot
of the Amazon.
Wait. I cannot wait.
Please.
Yes. I cannot wait.
Thank you very much, darling.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you very much. Okay. So, the baby gave you a break?
Yes, he gave me a break.
Okay.
I put him to sleep, and so finally I'm here for you. Thank you so much for the space and for the attention. Hello to everybody.
This is Chiara now talking. We were talking with Manu. Now it's Chiara. And so, Chiara, just tell us a little bit of your background, who you are, where you're from.
My name is Chiara, and I'm Italian, like Manuela. I'm from a little village near Milan, where I studied at the university. Mm-hmm. And my faculty was natural science, so I was really in love with animals, plant, nature, and green in general. But my path was not so straight, because at the very beginning of my job life, mm-hmm. I worked for the National Italian Television as a speechwriter.
All right.
But I really hated this job.
Okay.
Yeah. I did it for 7-8 years.
Okay.
You can think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate every single moment, because I wanted to work with nature and with the environment. And I was friends with Emanuela, and she was always telling me, if you hate this job, quit, leave this job and come with me to the Amazon. We can build up an association, we can realize projects, we can do a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end, one day, I was in a very critical moment of my life, and I don't know, I felt like it was the right moment to quit.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I went to the Amazon,
and
because I was always visualizing this green environment, trees and animals, and finally, the universe gave me this.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. I was looking for it, and the universe simply answered
that's
to my questions.
All right.
And I started a new life with all my power, but also with the help of Emanuela, of the natives, which are wonderful people. And I was there, simply living there for some years.
Okay.
And it was wonderful. I'm saying it was, because now I'm living in UK with my family, with the baby.
Yes.
But I'm always very active into the association.
You practically you take care of raising the money so the projects can be done.
Exactly. Fundraising and accountancy.
Yeah.
Which are two not easy but possible. Jobs that I can do from home or from UK in general.
Mm-hmm.
I can look for donors, sponsor, supporters in general. So I can raise money and send them to Emanuela to realize the projects.
Yeah.
And we are doing this. It's going quite good.
Mm-hmm.
We always need support,
of
help.
Course. Yeah.
Not just money, which are very important, but above all, people promoting the projects, people talking about the project, people involved.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
With passion, with heart, with emotion, to support us and to allow us to help the natives.
Yeah, of course. And this kind of help is a kind of help that you cannot pay with money, because passion, love and dedication are things that you cannot pay.
Exactly. You can see that there are some days mm-hmm. in which we have, for example, no money, a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties, but simply a mail, mm-hmm. a text, a voice mm-hmm. from a person in the world saying, go on, girls, don't give up, you're doing very well. It's enough for me. Yeah,
that's an amazing support. So I was talking to Manu, and I was asking her how is it possible that she's there, you know, thinking about all the projects and working with the natives to so the project become, you know, true. But she doesn't know, because you don't have the money, you don't know how and when you're gonna raise the
our
money.
Our future, we don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you deal with this uncertainty?
Oh, it depends on the day. Of course, there are days that I feel I'm not going well. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing well, sorry. Mm-hmm. We won't ever be able to realize, for example, a new school, a new medical post, a new project.
Mm-hmm.
But in these days, you know, always the universe gives me a tip.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you call this donor again?
Okay.
A person in Italy, for example, who mm-hmm. donated money mm-hmm. and maybe it's 1 year. Yeah. I'm not talking with him. And mm-hmm. so I simply think, okay, let's call him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in these days, above all, this person's answer.
Yeah, that's
saying,
amazing.
Oh, that's very good to hear from you. Tell me about the projects, how mm-hmm. it's going. Do you need some help?
Oh, that's
and that's
amazing.
It. Yeah. So the uncertainty is difficult to face, but every day has to end with the good news for me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about fear and the uncertainty and Manu was saying that, yes, it's there. She knows it's there. But you just go on and face it.
Just going on.
With faith.
And a couple of years ago, maybe, me and Manu, we were talking very deeply about uncertainty, saying maybe there will be a day in which we will be good with money and in peace, simply realizing projects. And we thought, no, we will always have to work hard.
Yes.
To go on, to keep on.
Yeah.
Not just asking money, but promoting and spreading the voice.
Spreading the voice, yeah,
that's
important. That's
important,
That's amazing. So I'm going to ask you the last question that I asked to Manu, which is a very hard and strong question.
Mm-hmm.
That is, what do you know for sure?
Oh, a lot of things.
Okay.
A lot. I know that I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
That my job is my life.
Oh, that's
that
beautiful.
That my baby is my second life, and the two lives are beautiful.
Okay.
That I have all that I want, and that I have abundance above all.
That's nice.
I am in an abundance life,
mm-hmm.
and I am full of friendship, love, peace, energy.
Yeah,
above
that's
all,
important.
The energy with the baby, of course, with the job, with the family, and I think that this is the key point.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you have questions for me?
Oh, just wanted to know which was the most beautiful message you received with your blog, and what the message was saying.
Okay, so the most beautiful message till now was this lady that wrote to me saying that I have a voice, and that my readers and my listeners want and need to hear that voice. That we are a community that support and help each other. That was amazing. Because I started dedicating myself to Mion Focus just from January. And now we are almost end of May, and receive a message like this right at the beginning of a project.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
You that you are already 14 years working, 10 years working with Amazonia Onlus. you know how it is important. You said it, how it is important to have somebody telling you something that nice. So I think that that was the most beautiful till now.
And you never feel alone.
I never feel alone. Yeah. Never, never, never. Because, and even when maybe I'm like, oh my God, is somebody there out there listening to me? Is somebody following? Am I being able to spread the message that I want to share? I maybe receive a message on Instagram under a picture where somebody, you know, writes, oh, I love your feed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it happens, right?
Yeah. Those little words, those little phrases, you know, that maybe a person just wrote like that. And maybe sometimes, you know, they write and they think that I'm not reading it. But you read it and it fills your heart with joy and you'll say, okay, let's go on.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
I'm very happy. I know you already 4 years, and I always admired your job.
Because, oh, thank you so much.
Because it's wonderful what you do, and I know that it's hard. And I just met Manu yesterday, and it's beautiful to see the passion that you guys have.
We have a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, and I always admired you. What you two girls were able to do in this man's world, which is Brazil, which is hard.
Sure.
Everybody knows I'm half Brazilian, so I know very well the mentality. It's amazing. You two girls are very strong, and I really wish that all the new projects that I know about, we're not talking yet, but next week we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
I know that it's going to work 100%, and I know that they're going to be successful, and I know that Amazonia Onlus will go on and on and on and on, and your little boy someday, you know,
will
make it grow even more. Yeah. Thank you very much for taking away time from your little beautiful baby.
Thanks to you for inviting me. And maybe Emmanuel already told about the possibility to visit us in the Amazon, because we don't want to be alone there. Yes. And so if everyone has this wish to come and visit us, is very welcome.
Yes, and we also spoke about the Me on Focus retreat next June. And we're going to start working together now from next week to build it. And I'm sure that people are going to love it.
Because sure
it's beautiful.
And it's something different.
It's a big adventure.
Absolutely. Oh, adventure for sure.
Yes. Okay, so I'll let you go back to your baby. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And a good night for everyone. And thank you so much for inviting me.
This is the first podcast and not the last one. You guys are going to hear a lot about Manu and Chiara and Amazonia Onlus. And don't forget the surprise. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. And thank you, Chiara and Emanuela, for participating on our podcast. If you want to know more about Amazonia Onlus, please visit www.meonfocus.com. There you will find the webpage and all the information that you need to help Chiara and Emanuela to finish all the projects that they have in Amazonia and to start new ones. Thank you very much.